sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
For the Son of Humanity is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Humanity coming in his kingdom. This is the gospel of the Lord. I am him, in other words, Jesus is saying here. I'm the one that Peter confessed as Messiah. But mine is not a triumphalist parade to celebrate dominance like Caesar. Mine is a way of the cross, a way of self-emptying for the sake of others, for the sake of the whole world, a way of mercy and forgiveness, which the culture then and now sees as weakness and folly. That's who you're looking at even now, Jesus says to us this day. That's who we're going to follow in mind, body, spirit, as long as we're able. Amen. Friends in Christ, as we celebrate Labor Day, we focus on the cross. Here at Bethlehem, we have a giant cross right in our center aisle. We only bring that cross out normally on Holy Week and Good Friday, but here it is, this huge cross. We recenter the cross. We gather back around the cross and ask again, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to go beyond simply clicking like or follow in a social media world? What does it mean to take up our cross and follow with Jesus? What does it mean to suffer with him? I think that's what Paul's illuminating in our passage today from Romans. Outdo one another in showing honor, Paul writes. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Show hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Weep with those who weep. Never avenge yourselves, or as the Message translation says, don't hit back. Talk about the blessed labor of discipleship. This way of Jesus, this way of the cross is work. It is not an easy road. And it starts in our gospel text today with a reminder about temptation. In this little back and forth with Peter and Jesus, I just read the very end of this gospel text, but at the beginning of the gospel text, Peter and Jesus, it's a rebuke and then a counter-rebuke. The rebuke starts with Peter. It says, Peter rebuked Jesus and said, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. And then Jesus counter-rebukes, get behind me, Satan. In other words, this way of the cross all starts with the reminder that Satan works in subtle, tricky ways. God forbid it, this must happen. This is not a big, obvious temptation. I mean, this is not breaking any laws or suggesting anyone break any laws. It's just a whisper to say, stay quiet. Just do that. Stay complacent. Don't step up. Don't stand up. Don't speak up. We're not breaking any rules or committing any big juicy grievances here with this little temptation. If Jesus chose to listen to Peter, it's just, you know, temptation. It's just planting the possibility that one option is just doing or saying nothing. You could go that route. Satan's tricky, see? Disguised and working through even the great Saint Peter. Maybe just stay quiet. Maybe just pass. Won't hurt. That's why we need a blunt, obvious cross in our way sometimes. Something else to trip over or bump into. See, Jesus calls Peter a stumbling block. Something that's going to trip or stumble or bonk your head on. The Greek word for stumbling block, I love it, is skandalon. Scandal. Doing nothing is a scandal. Siblings in Christ, the cross is our scandal. That's what we'll trip over, bump our heads on. As we celebrate Labor Day and move into a new school season, we focus on the cross. We recenter the cross. We gather back around the cross. Maybe put a cross somewhere more prominent in your own home this week. And if you don't have one, or even if you do, maybe make one with some ugly branches. The symbol of the self-emptying one who we can never fully and perfectly follow, who we will deny and run from, but who always finds us and who gives us clear direction, purpose, challenge, and undying love, forgiveness, and peace. What does it mean to lose your life for the sake of the gospel? What does it mean to suffer in a way that gains your soul? I think of Marie Reed, member of our congregation here for many, many years, who serves and gives so much of herself and really can't see any other way of being. You should see her here, and many of you have, during hypothermia shelter week, for example, just one example. Talk about emptying herself. She gives everything, every bit of physical, emotional, mental, spiritual energy she has. She is exhausted at the end of the week and at the end of each one of those long days. Well, she usually sleeps after those long nights during the day. She gives, as she pours herself out. And I don't see an ounce of bitterness or anger in her about that. In fact, it's the opposite. It's all love and laughter. I think of Marie, I just hear her laugh. She embodies the liturgy with her life. I'll say more on that as we move into this fall, but I want to say that here too. She embodies the liturgy with her life. Or one of my favorite mentors, my father, when I asked him once, when I was in a tough spot in a previous call, "Dad, what do you do? Dad's a pastor. Dad, what do you do when you feel like you've got nothing left? When you're overcome with frustration in ministry, terrified maybe about what the future holds for the congregation or the wider church or just your own sanity?" You know what Dad said? "Go visit your people. Go to the homebound. Go to the sick. Go to those who are overwhelmed with life and work. Go pray with them. Listen to them. Share of yourself too. And bring them communion." Talk about the regaining of the soul. Recovering the heart of ministry, the joy in this work. And I've heard others, you don't have to be a pastor, I've heard others talk very similarly about why they volunteer, about volunteering. Many of you can relate. Giving yourself away right in the very moment of not meaning to gain anything for yourself, right in the precise moment of forfeit, you gain your life. Greek word there is psuche, which means life, spirit, soul. You gain your soul, your spirit, your breath, your psuche. Friends, encourage you to bring your bulletin home this week or print it out. Print out this passage, Matthew 16:21-28, and especially this reading from Romans today. Center it. Romans 12:9-21. Put it in a central place. Maybe read it each day of the week this week. Maybe look up different translations to tease out the meaning, the full meaning. See if God does anything with you. Because this is what that self-emptying, cross-centered, Jesus-imitating discipleship looks like. Be patient in suffering, Paul writes. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Don't repay evil for evil. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. Thirsty, give them something to drink. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now that's labor. That's labor, a faithful labor of love, a labor that trips this world up, that many will bonk their heads on. That's a labor that reflects the cross of Christ, the life, death, and resurrection of a God who suffers with us, who loves us, who forgives us, who calls us to be witnesses, and embraces us when we fall and fail at it. Keep us near that cross, Jesus. Keep us in the shadow of your love. Keep us in your self-giving life. Hold us today into this new season and always. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.